Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio.
With you, our final hour, and we're going to get it underway in grand fashion with Anthony DiComo of MLB.com. Does an absolutely terrific job covering everything Mets. This is 2 weeks in a row, Anthony, but I thank you so much.
It's a treat for me too, Kim. 2 weeks in a row. I can't believe it.
I just love it. And my last caller before the break mentioned two players, and I'm going to lead off with them. It's not the way I plan to do it, but I am curious. When you talk about Edwin Diaz, when you talk about Dellin Betances, two different guys, so I'm not grouping them together. I don't need one answer on both. You can give me separate answers on them. But to me, if both of them could be at their best, my goodness, you would be talking about such a boon for that that Mets bullpen. What do you know about how they're doing at this point?
Yeah, you're basically, Kim, what you're asking about how the Mets drew it up last offseason,
yes.
Like two offseasons ago.
Yes.
And that's what they envisioned, was this guy, Edwin Diaz, who can be, and we have seen at his best, an absolutely dynamic closer, one of the best in the game. You've got another guy in Dellin Betances who has already had a long career as one of the better, one of the best back-end arms in baseball for a while now. Neither of them have been at their best consistently with the Mets. In Betances' case, we've barely seen him. Mm-hmm. He's had so many injuries. The velocity just was not even there, and not even approaching there last summer. In Diaz's case, obviously that nightmare 2019, and he made improvements last year, but I think there's still definitely a lack of trust in among the fan base that he is that guy and will be that guy, that dynamic guy going forward. You know, if you ask me about those two guys specifically, Kim, I'll tell you, I have a lot more faith in Diaz just because we know the health is there. We know the stuff is there.
Yeah.
The track record is also there. And there's really no reason why he can't go out there and be an elite reliever this year. Betances, you kind of have to see it. You have to see him get back up at least into the mid-90s again and show that he can be that dynamic guy. He was out here throwing a live BP the other day. He was hitting around 91 was where he was sitting, which is actually an improvement from where he was this time last year. And he is a guy that even at his best takes some time to ramp into it in spring training. But if you're the Mets, you really want to see him back up in that at least 95, 96 range before you probably feel as comfortable with him as you do with Diaz.
Yeah, agreed. And that's a good answer from you. Let's stick with pitching for just a little bit. I'll probably bounce around ultimately, but what is Jacob DeGrom doing throwing 99? And it's not even we're not even close to St. Patrick's Day yet. He did it barely after Valentine's Day.
If you saw him doing it, Kim, you wouldn't be as worried because it doesn't look like he's trying.
He's amazing.
He's just out there. He is. He's incredible. And you know, this has been the story with Jacob DeGrom's whole career.
Yep.
When he came up, he was not this pitcher. He was 93, 94. Obviously a good live arm that you can dream on, but he wasn't the guy who was throwing 99, 100, 101, and now he has done all these things to make himself even more formidable that it's not surprising when you see him come out here throwing 99 in February, and it looks free and easy, and I'm not a scout, but I mean, it certainly doesn't look like he's putting a ton of effort into it relative to maybe some other guys who do. So, you know, I know everyone kind of cringes a little when they hear stories like that, because you always worry about arms and arm injuries and things like that. But Jacob deGrom only knows that one speed now, and that is, you know, an absolutely dynamic, hard-throwing pitcher, the best in the game. And, you know, you see it out here in the backfield, then it's just unfair.
You know, I know he was a shortstop in a different baseball life. Like, I get all of that. But do we maybe not give DeGrom the credit for being the athlete he is? Like, we go pitcher. You know, in baseball, we go by their specific positions. And for good reason. I understand, you know, it's not like I need a primer on that. But I just feel like he's a really good athlete.
Yeah, he's a tremendous athlete. And I think, you know, it's a good question, because I think when we say the word athlete, we think about that five-tool player, yeah, the guy who can hit for power and has a ton of speed and can do all these different things. And then you see Jacob deGrom, and he's this tall, kind of lanky guy. And, you know, he doesn't look like he would stand out in the weight room or anything like that, but he is. He's absolutely an athlete. He is, you know, you see him come off the mound. You see him make plays. You see, again, the ability to throw 100 miles an hour and make it look free and loose and easy and not like there's any strain. That is athleticism. Mm-hmm. So make no mistake about it. He is one of the more athletic dudes in that clubhouse.
Well, and it's valuable how available he is to the Mets. You know, I do remember, like, the finger. Was that last year or the year before, the blister or whatever it turned out to be, if I'm remembering correctly at all. But I understand there have been some, you know, issues over the years, but generally speaking, he's available every 5 days, which we should never discount, especially with a great pitcher.
Absolutely. And I think that was the fear with Jacob deGrom when he came up, because okay, he had that lanky body. And you see the comps over the years. And one that springs to mind for me a lot is Tim Lincecum. Not as tall as deGrom, maybe a smaller guy in general, but mm-hmm, had that same kind of wiry athleticism. And when he went quick. And injuries caught up to him quick. And I think a lot of people not predicted that, but feared that that could be the case for DeGrom. And he has answered all of those questions. He's getting on into his mid-30s now. He has been quite durable. He's routinely giving the Mets 220-plus innings. And frankly, that's kind of what I mean, is when he was first coming up, I think, you know, there was a thought within the scouting community that this would never be a guy who could give you a 200-inning season. And he's done that multiple times now. You know, he's one of the more durable pitchers in the game. He has had little nicks and bruises here and there, and he's had little things pop up, but nothing, no major injuries really since he was a prospect. And that's a pretty good thing for the Mets. And, you know, of course, knock on wood, knock on whatever,
yep,
you want.
Yep.
He is a pitcher. Pitchers break. It happens. When it happens, we'll never be able to predict it. But as long as he's healthy, you know, he does all the right things to stay healthy.
It certainly seems that way. Anthony DeComo with me, Kim Jones, here on The Fan. Broad brush on the starting pitching staff. Your take as we sit here on February 27th, really on the cusp of getting to see these teams play some spring training games, whether they're seven innings or not, Anthony, we'll take it. What is your broad brush look like when it comes to the rotation overall?
I like it, Kim. And, you know, I think the last time we spoke, the Taiwan Walker deal was not done yet,
yes,
or it was just, that to me was the missing piece. I know people, you know, had interest in an outfield upgrade, Jackie Bradley Jr. type, or a third base upgrade, and wanted every third baseman on the market.
Yep.
To me, that didn't do as much for the Mets as getting a bona fide one more member of your rotation. You can pencil in and say, this guy is your number four starter, number three starter, whatever it might be. Taiwan Walker is that guy. And he looks the part. He's got not a perfect track record, but certainly a good mid-rotation starter-type track record. Mm-hmm. He allows you so much more flexibility with what you can do at the back end of that rotation, whether you want to slow down David Peterson, who doesn't have a ton of innings on his resume, do different things with Joey Lucchese, who you could start. You could start in the minors. You could use out of the bullpen. Any number of things. It just gives you so much more depth. So the rotation to me, yeah, I think it's quite good. And is it the Dodgers where you've got like seven number ones? No, it's not the best rotation in baseball, but it's certainly a playoff rotation. It's the type of rotation that can carry you to October. And then once you get to October, you've got Jacob deGrom. And frankly,
that
alone can be enough.
Yep. Agreed.
So to me, yeah, it's they've done a lot to that rotation, and it's looking good in my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just a big, big deGrom fan, especially like the way he's carried himself over these past few years, the way he handles, you know, when they don't score enough runs for him, which happens way too often and hopefully doesn't this year. I don't know. It's hard for me to describe why. I've never met him. Not that that matters. I don't know. That's how I look at DeGrom, and that's why probably every time you come on this station with me, and I'm always grateful when you do, Anthony, there's going to be at least a DeGrom question or two, because I just think when you have someone like that setting the stage for the rest of your, frankly, team, you can have Noah get into Twitter battles or whatever Noah wants to do, and you can have Noah, you know, flamethrowing. You can have, you know, in my mind, you know, J.D. Davis at third and Dom Smith in left, and I know I'm all over the place here, but I'm making a point in my own mind that makes sense, Anthony, is they're not the best at their positions, and I understand that. I love them as Mets. Like, I look at this Mets team right now, and it seems to make sense to me, even if it's not perfect.
Well, Jacob DeGrom, you know, has turned himself into kind of the consummate professional. And I remember having a talk with him or talking to him in the clubhouse a couple of years ago. And we were talking about just, you know, the interactions between players and the media in general and things like that. And I mentioned something to him. I said, "You're a much better interview after you lose than after you win."
Yes.
And he said, "Why?" And he said, "Why do you say that?" And I was like, "Well, because you're so hard on yourself that what you say is just more interesting and better. And when you win, it's okay, you know, but when you lose, you really diagnose what went wrong. You really get into it. You really say all these different things." And he said, "Well, you know, I appreciate that." And then he lost his next game and he came looking for me and he said, "Yeah, I lost because you said that." Of course. But the point is, I think that's what makes him such a great competitor is he doesn't need to yell it out. He doesn't need to say it. He knows what he's doing right and what he's doing wrong. He knows how to correct it. He knows how to diagnose it. He knows what he's capable of. And when he doesn't do that, he doesn't blame anyone but himself. And I think that's what makes players popular.
Yes,
when you
agreed.
Start hearing excuses,
agreed.
whether they're overt excuses or whether they're just things that guys kind of say off to the side and you start rolling your eyes, a lot of players do it.
Yep.
A lot of players do it unconsciously. Jacob DeGrom never does it, and I think that's what makes him likable.
And over the years, I don't need to tell you, Anthony, if he wanted to bitch about the offense, if he wanted to complain about a catcher, he could have done it. Now, it wouldn't have played well, and the catcher in particular would have been a little sticky, but he could have, and he never did. You're exactly right, 100%.
Yeah, and let's be honest. Does Jacob DeGrom, has he loved every single catcher he's thrown to over the years?
Yeah, that's
going to
be a
not.
No.
Probably not. Right. But do you hear him clapping, you know, shouting out about it in the media? No, you really don't. I mean, whatever conversations he has had behind closed doors.
Yep. You've just led me into one that I wasn't necessarily thinking of asking, but with McCann, do we know yet? Like, we can't know, in my opinion, we can't know chemistry yet, right? But do we know anything about that relationship with James McCann, the new catcher?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, look, we got to get into the season and see how these guys react to getting into the ground and having things go wrong, frankly, because things will go wrong.
Yep.
And that's when I think you see the true character of players, the true character of relationships. But I will say this, you know, as far as the cheery spring training stories, best shape of their life, that type of thing, you know, James McCann is the epitome of that here in that you know, he's went and called every Mets pitcher and long before even getting to camp started working out, you know, seeing what makes these guys tick. Everyone has nice things to say about James McCann, his track record, his history in terms of calling a game, in terms of being that steady force behind the plate is very, very good. So we'll see what happens, you know, once we get into the meat of the season. But as for right now, it certainly looks like an upgrade behind the plate defensively.
This isn't meant to be a snarky question. Do we think McCann will be more mobile behind the plate than his predecessor?
I think he almost has to be, Kim.
Agreed. That's why I mentioned the snark. I mean, I didn't mean it to be snarky, though.
Yeah, and that's really not a knock on Wilson Ramos because he did work hard and actually did improve himself year two to year one defensively in terms of what he was able to do behind the plate. But just the base level athleticism, the ceiling of what he can do as a catcher, it's not close to what James McCann's been able to do.
Okay.
And James McCann has always been a fine defensive catcher throughout his career. The question on him was, can he hit enough to be a realistic everyday player?
I got to be honest. Now, listen, I'd like him to come through once in a while, but if he can stabilize that job behind the plate at a extraordinary or just shy of extraordinary level, to me, he's worth it on this Mets team by far.
I couldn't agree more, Kim. And you have, you know, assuming James McCann is batting eighth on this team, which I suspect he will most days,
okay,
you have a 1-7
yep,
that is as good, mm-hmm, if not better, than any in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need your catcher to be Mike Piazza in the middle
agreed
of the lineup.
Totally
I would much more rather have a guy who has the trust of every member of that pitching staff, who is able to call a game, who is able to adjust on the fly, who is able to throw out base runners, which has been a mm-hmm huge thing for the Mets,
yes,
in seasons past. If he can do all those things and he hits 220 with a little bit of power, I can sit here right now and tell you I'm fine with that.
Yeah, if he is doing the job behind the plate that you're describing and that I think we can anticipate, I don't want to hear about his offense because, like you said, that part of it to me, because of the importance of this rotation for the Mets, I know every team's rotation is important, so I understand that part. But because they have been asked so often to carry this team, maybe not as much anymore, or I'm going to get to that in a second, but to me, I don't want to hear about his offensive numbers because honestly, I don't give a darn. I want to watch his defense. I want to watch him call a game, and I want to watch him get after a pass ball when one does get by him. Okay, so anyway, that's my McCann thing. All right, I want to get to Lindor because I want to hear what you've seen.
Lindor, Francisco Lindor is basically, if you had to draw up,
oh my God,
archetypal superstar.
Wow.
Of like what Major League Baseball want, like the guy who can be the card-carrying member of promoting this game. This is the guy. Like, this is it. Him and Fernando Tatis Jr., I would say, out in San Diego, are the two guys that jump to mind first. They are not only dynamic talents, dynamic players, but they're dynamic personalities. You can just tell there's a magnetism there. You see him going around the backfields here with his blue hair and, you know, everything that kind of comes with this idea of Francisco Lindor and his new shoe line that's dropping and all these things. And it's not, he has a way of doing it that is not look at me,
mm-hmm,
but everyone looks at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that makes sense,
mm-hmm,
because it's, you can see it the other way when you have a guy who's that flashy and it becomes look at me for the sake of looking at me. This doesn't seem like that. He just draws people's eyes because he is so talented and because he has that charisma and X factor.
Jeter than A-Rod?
Flashier, I would say, than Jeter, mm-hmm, because it's not as if he doesn't like the attention. I mean, there is something there.
Okay.
And but it's not to the level of the last big ticket, I would say, that we've had in that way here has been Yoenis Cespedes. And every day was a circus. Going out and seeing what new car he was pulling in, riding around the park on a horse.
Yes.
I mean, things like that. And it was so clear that these were, you know, designed things to look at me. Francisco Lindor is not that way. He just forces people to look at him by the way that he goes about his business, by the way that he has some flash and pizzazz in his everyday. I mean, just fielding grounders out there at shortstop in boring spring training drills. He does it with a fluidity and an athleticism and an aptitude that is just like, wow, okay, this is what a dynamic major league shortstop looks like. And you kind of can't look away.
Wow.
And it's not because he's going out there and, you know, posting crazy things on social media or showing up with a giant sombrero or whatever it might be. He's doing it just by nature of his talent.
I think we talked about this last week, Anthony DiComo, because you're good enough to join me two weeks in a row here on The Fan. We think he's going to hit second?
I think there's definitely a chance. I would say second or third,
okay,
is where he slots in. And you know, I have Twitter conversations with people about the lineup. And the fact of the matter is there's 162 games, and the Mets are probably going to use 60, 80, 90 different lineups over the course of that. So I would caution people not to freak out over what the opening day lineup looks like or the first spring lineup looks like. It's not going to be the one they use every day. But for a guy who does slot in to play 150-plus games for this team, I think the Mets would like to find a consistent spot for Lindor, and that probably is in that 2-3 range. I think it's where he fits.
Okay. The most, in some ways, interesting convo that you guys have had this week I've saved for last. And that's Pete Alonso. And I can't tell you how much I applaud him because I think at least most of us, I'll speak only for myself, there are times that I really would like to quit social media. There just are. You know, I don't think our jobs allow it. And I certainly understand that, respect it. And I respect many, many of the people who reach out. It's just a challenging environment sometimes, as I think most people understand. When he talks about, you know, every single day being a blessing, I think he sounded very sincere in that he wants to live in real life, I thought was an interesting way to put it. What was your take on Pete and sort of that, like, I don't know, a window into his soul a little bit in terms of his approach this season?
I think it's probably a you know, realization that last year got to him. His struggles got to him probably more than he said and more than we know.
Good point.
And not that he was, again, you talk about the look at me guys, not that he was necessarily that guy in 2019, but it did happen because of what he did and because of what he became. And, you know, a guy with 50, 60, 70 big league games as he starts playing in them, all of a sudden people are talking about naming him the captain and signing him to a contract extension. And none of it was fair to a kid who was a rookie. And but that's what it became. Mm-hmm. And then I think last year was very much a reality check in that it doesn't always come that easily. And that's not to say that Pete Alonso can't get it back. I think there's a lot of optimism around here that he can and continue to be that force in the middle of the lineup. But it's not always as easy as it might have seemed probably at times for Pete Alonso in 2019. So just getting rid of some of that negativity that you can't escape when you're on social media. I see it every day. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you see it, Kim. Mm-hmm. Somebody like Pete Alonso, who's a bigger celebrity than both of us.
Yes.
Imagine how many factors of
agreed.
Of negativity he sees on there. Mm-hmm. 1-0-4 game is enough to send people screaming through the roof. So, you know, look, if I was a player, I like to say that I would never be on social media. Maybe that's not reality because, you know, it's because of the world we live in. Mm-hmm. Because you have agents in your ear and you have the team in your ear and you have MLB in your ear and everyone wants to make you a star, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily so easy to just go away. But for Pete Alonso to say, screw it, I don't care about any of that. I just care about succeeding. And if getting rid of some of this negativity is going to help, I'm going to do it.
Yep.
Kudos to him. Yep. We should all be so lucky.
Yep. Interesting. And an interesting decision by him. And we'll see if, hey, maybe if the season's going great, he decides, hey, I definitely made the right decision. Or maybe he says, oh, I'll pop back on because things are going so great. We'll see. But he certainly can change his mind. But I found that, as I think many people did this week, kind of interesting. I have two more questions for you, Anthony. The first one, with Luis Rojas, second-year manager now, can you tell he's not a rookie manager anymore? Is there something that he's said or done this spring where you thought to yourself, like, that's a little bit different from last year's manager?
Nothing specific other than you see a little more, maybe a little more comfortability with the daily press conferences.
Okay.
You'd
hope
like
so,
that.
Right?
And,
yeah.
Yes. And I'm curious to see how that translates in terms of maybe a little more freedom to do what he wants in games and to maybe a little more confidence to do something a little unorthodox if the situation calls for it. Because I know that's the way that Luis Rojas thinks.
Okay.
I know he likes some of the more avant-garde baseball strategies, whether that's the opener or any number of other things. You know, I know he wants to maybe be a little more aggressive in games. So let's see if this year two, a little added confidence, a little bit more comfortable in that coaching box allows him to kind of have the freedom to do that.
And I hope it does. I hope it does. You know, Anthony, you're such a nice guy. You come on with me, you do these long segments with me, and you've never once, as far as I know, asked, and I think at least I would know on my shows, about your book. And your book, The Captain, a memoir with David Wright, about David Wright, published a year ago. You've literally never said to me, will you mention my book or will you ask me about my book? And, you know, I wish you would have, because I wish I had before. But it's really a credit to you as a human that you do these things. You allow me to ask you anything in the world, including multiple DeGrom questions that were almost the same question, but in my mind, they were different. And yet, you know, you've got this book, which is awesome. I would love to write a book. I don't think I have the discipline to do so. But I'm just curious, as you now can look back, you know, months later, that book has to feel like a wonderful, I hope it feels like a wonderful accomplishment, and I hope it's doing very well.
Well, I appreciate that, Kim, and I think I've probably hit up enough of your WFAN colleagues to I don't need to get every single anchor on board. But no, but it's fun, and it was, you know, it's funny. This time last year, I was down in spring training, you know, just before the pandemic really hit home, and it was such a scramble because I was in final. My deadline was March 1st, and I was so really a year ago, basically this weekend, and I was. And I was really stressed out just trying to make sure it is perfect before I sent it in and this and that. And it is nice to have that done and to have that literally sitting on my bookshelf. But it's fun. No, it's doing well. And I will take this opportunity you've given me, Kim, to thank, you know, everyone who's bought it, everyone who's left, you know, amazing reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and wherever else. Like, it's been really cool to have people reach out and be like, oh, I read the book and I totally forgot about this. Or, you know, it was inspiring when David said this. And so that's been great. And it's I've said it before, just the consummate professional to work with. David was awesome throughout the entire process, continues to be awesome. You know, so it's been a really fun ride over the past, and it came out in October. So I guess over the past 6 months or 4 months, you know, having seen people's reactions to it has been really cool.
That's awesome. I'm very, very happy for you. I think that's a terrific accomplishment, especially
Thank you.
At this young stage of your sports writing, sports telling, sports storytelling, I should say, whatever you want to make of it, career of yours, to have already done that is really tremendous. Thank you so much. And Anthony, thank you for all the time. I'm sure we will catch up again in the near future, and I know I am looking forward to it.
Let's do it, Kim. I am as well. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Anthony DeComo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.